From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, and you can watch this program on Free Speech TV and Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The news of Donald Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, accepting payments from corporations like AT&T and Novartis for access to the president is the latest report to emerge from the tangled web of Robert Mueller's investigation. Cohen also received payments from an American firm with ties to a Russian oligarch. Reports of the payments were revealed by Michael Avenatti, the lawyer representing Stormy Daniels, an adult film actress who said she had an affair with Trump and was given hush money to keep it quiet. Meanwhile, a tug of war continues between the White House and Mueller's team over the special counsel's one-on-one interview with Trump. Mueller has reportedly turned down a request by Trump's lawyers for the president to give his answers in writing. Mueller's questions for Trump were leaked to the New York Times, and many have speculated that the leak emerged from the White House itself. We turn to Marcy Wheeler, who is an investigative journalist, who has been closely following the Mueller investigation. She blogs at emptywheel.net, and she's been a frequent guest on our program. Welcome back, Marcy.
Good to be back.
But first, let's start with Michael Cohen. There's always so much to talk about when we have you on. So let's go step by step with the latest issue of these corporations. I mentioned AT&T and Novartis on the issue of Novartis because it's a Swiss company. The Swiss prosecutor is now looking into it. And as far as we can tell, essentially, Cohen was being approached by corporations who weren't sure about the Trump presidency to see if he could give them some insight on where the president would stand on policies related to them. This is basically a convoluted way of saying that he was selling access to the president, right?
Right. And actually, we know that he was soliciting companies. Most ridiculously, he went to Uber and asked them to basically pay him for access to the president, which is crazy because he's an owner of a bunch of taxi medallions in New York City. So he's a direct competitor with Uber. Uber is putting him out of business. And he went to them and said, you know, you got to pay me for access. And they intelligently said no. Ford Motor Company also said no. But as you said, AT&T and Novartis were two of the companies that did ask for this access, as well as the one company tied to the Russian billionaire.
And does this, as far as you can tell, and I'm sure lawyers are poring over this, but does this violate laws, U.S. laws about, essentially this kind of private access to the president?
Unfortunately, probably not. The governor of Virginia was tried for payments where he agreed to take meetings with people. And that case was overturned by the Supreme Court. And given that Supreme Court precedent, it's really hard to prosecute anyone for this kind of influence peddling anymore. So unless there is some specific quid pro quo involved with regards to the Russian, and unless there's some payment for something offered during, sanctions relief, unless you can tie it to some policy that for which there was a clear understanding of some exchange, then it's probably not going to be found illegal. But Mueller is looking at these also in the context of huge payments to Trump's inauguration. He raised about twice as much money as he actually needed to put the inauguration on. A lot of that money, a ton of it, came from Russians and other foreign businessmen. And he said he was going to donate the leftover money to charity, and there's no evidence he has. So that money has basically gone into somebody's pocket. We don't know whose pocket it has gone into and for why. So likely the Cohen payments tie into the larger chunk of payments that Trump's people in Trump's orb immediately started demanding as soon as they got in office.
Well, some have speculated that Cohen's company, this shell company called Essential Consultants, through which he received these payments, could have been a slush fund for Trump himself. Is there any evidence that you know that might indicate that?
Well, we don't have evidence of that yet, but we do know that the Essential Consultants was set up first and foremost to pay off Stormy Daniels, which is how Avenatti got involved. So one of the things you could argue is that some of that money flowing into the account basically paid off Stormy Daniels and at least one other woman, and possibly a second. The other question is, what happened to the money? Now, Avenatti appears to have gotten leaked what are called suspicious activity reports, which are treasury reports that banks supply. He's not supposed to have them. It's not actually a good thing that they get leaked because they're not necessarily tied to any evidence of guilt. But of course, Mueller has far more information. Mueller and, importantly, the Southern District of New York, because they're investigating some of Cohen's unique bribery or unique corruption, because they seized all of his records. So what Avenatti has is just the tip of the iceberg, and the rest of that iceberg is about to become the subject of a big debate in a Manhattan courtroom, basically.
I understand Senate Democrats have basically urged hearings or some investigation, particularly into the payments by Novartis and AT&T. And of course, this shouldn't be a partisan battle, but it's ending up because Trump has just rewritten. And really, the Republican Party has completely changed the rules of ethics for years now. This has become a massive partisan battle because one can only imagine if Obama was in the position that Trump is in and these issues were revealed.
Well, I mean, Obama did take a lot of money from banks, and he went easier on banks than he should have. Here you can tie the Novartis payment to, for example, Medicare payments to drug companies. The chair of Novartis at the time this payment went through had just become a big player in pharma, the lobbying firm for the pharmaceutical company. So there could be actually a policy payoff there. And then with AT&T, there are two things. One is the merger with CNN, with Time Warner, and then which is not being approved, but that it got not approved at about the same time AT&T stopped paying Cohen. But also net neutrality. The Trump administration rolled back Obama efforts to enforce net neutrality. So there could be policy payments. And I agree this is worse, far worse than anything Obama did. But unfortunately, these kinds of influence payments do happen in D.C., and they are bipartisan. I mean, one of the first people to be taken out by Mueller's investigation was Tony Podesta, the brother of John. His lobbying firm was basically dismantled under scrutiny from Mueller as part of the investigation. So it's not like this is strictly a partisan affair. There are Democrats who are this sleazy, too.
Right. So let's now turn to whether you think Michael Cohen's going to, and a lot of people have wondered about this, how far will Michael Cohen go to save himself and offer Trump up? Because, you know, he, as you said, all his communications were seized, and he's in an extremely tight position. Is it possible, for one thing, whether he will face jail time? And if so, could he essentially be pressured enough by Mueller to turn over all his dealings that he did for Trump, which could land Trump in a world of hot water?
Well, that's the thing is the corruption investigation into Cohen, as well as the basically money laundering for these hush payments, that's all going through New York. There is a separate investigation still into Cohen's role in the Russian tampering with the election. And yeah, it's certainly possible. I mean, you do not get to raid somebody who acts as a lawyer in any circumstance unless you've got an abundant amount of evidence. So yeah, you have to assume that judges who approved that raid of Cohen's home and his phones and so on, you've got to believe that that judge saw quite a bit of evidence to suggest that there's criminal activity going on. And Cohen has suggested that he wants to, you know, have a life with his family. He has suggested that Trump kind of chilled him out of the White House as soon as he got to be president. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. It's also not outside the realm of possibility that with the raid, enough evidence by itself was preserved. In discussions about the raid, the Manhattan prosecutors have suggested that there were some concern that evidence was going to be destroyed. Now it's all preserved. We're going to fight about it for a little while, but it's there. It's preserved. And some of that is probably going to relate to the Russian investigation. And so Mueller's team can go and issue a separate warrant for that and get that material. And so they may not need Cohen. Cohen may be too late. But Yeah.
What about this Russian oligarch, Viktor Vekselberg, whose company Columbus Nova was also one of the companies implicated? Do you think, as far as you can tell, is this just one of several companies that happened to have a Russian at the heart of the story? Or does this figure tie to attempts by Russian officials or Russian actors to influence the American election?
Well, it's interesting because he actually had given money to Clinton Foundation maybe years ago or something like that. So, but he traditionally had been, or the company we're talking about had been a kind of bipartisan thing, but in the last year and a half has really started donating money exclusively to Republicans and a ton of money to Republicans. So it's him, it's his cousin, it's the company, and that may implicate the Republican Party as much as it does Donald Trump himself. So there's been some great reporting out of Dallas that ties the donations of these people to people like Mitch McConnell, who are now protecting Trump. So tons of money to the inauguration, tons of money to individual members of Congress. And we'll see what kind of understanding there was there. He was actually on the outs with Putin. Not that long ago, some of the people in his vicinity in Russia were arrested for bribery. But, you know, who knows whether he's trying to do this to curry favor with Putin or just trying to curry favor with the Republican Party here in the United States. But his donations clearly shifted to the Republicans in recent years. Hmm.
So let's turn to the other aspect of the Mueller investigation and essentially what the investigation has been building up to for more than a year, for about a year, which is a one-on-one conversation on the record between Mueller's team, Mueller himself, and Trump. And so we know now, because it was leaked, that Mueller's lawyers had presented Trump's lawyers with a list of questions that the Trump's lawyers took down. And those magically were sent to the New York Times, which then published these questions. Trump has, of course, continued to rail against the Mueller investigation as a witch hunt. And his lawyers offered to give answers in writing, which essentially means that it would have been Trump's lawyers very carefully vetting everything and putting in writing those questions. Mueller's team has said, no, that's not acceptable. So do you think it's inevitable that Mueller will get to question Trump?
No, and I'm not sure he really needs to. Hmm. Of those questions, probably half are solidly obstruction questions. I don't think Mueller would ever... obstruction for Mueller, I think, is a showy entree with the role of Donald Trump. I mean, yeah, he did some pretty big things to obstruct the investigation when he became president and offered people jobs and so on and so forth. But where Mueller is really going, and this was not reported as much as it should have been, at least a third of those questions were not obstruction questions. They were questions like, you know, what role did you have in the June 9th meeting? And understand that these are not actually questions as Mueller wrote them up. They're topics of discussion that one of Trump's lawyers, Jay Sekulow, wrote up. So they're Mueller's interpretation of what Trump is looking for. And we know from them that Mueller is looking for what Trump would call collusion. He's looking for Trump being personally involved, knowing personally about Roger Stone's efforts to work with Russians to release material, knowing about Paul Manafort's requests for help from Russians. The June 9th meeting, when did he learn about it? What role did he have? So, yeah, it's not just obstruction. And while I think Mueller would love to have Trump on the record as to what his intent was for a lot of these questions, for some of them, his actions are going to be the real issue. And there are plenty of other witnesses about what Trump knew or what Trump was party to or what Trump was witness to. So, you know, at some point, Mueller is probably going to say, look, you know, once Mueller has made the case that he's given Trump all of the opportunities to cooperate that he can, he's, I think, just going to move forward without Trump. Hmm.
Do you think that the questions were leaked to the New York Times by the White House? And is that a relevant thing to ask?
Necessarily, because they were Sekulow's questions. They weren't Mueller's questions.
Right.
One of the reasons Mueller did not give them written questions was just for that reason, that they so that they wouldn't have been leaked.
So these were questions that were related over the phone. Somebody wrote them down on the other side, and then they appeared in the New York Times.
So there would be no reason for Mueller to have them. The journalists involved are ones who've gotten, who've always been the ones who have told the investigation story as the White House would like to have them told. And So what Mueller was trying to do was to be able to say, oh my gosh, this is all about collusion. I mean, sorry, this is all about obstruction. But in fact, and this is why it's important that the reporting wasn't very attentive, in fact, yeah, there were a ton of questions in there about collusion, about Trump being personally involved in efforts to get help from the Russians to win the election.
So the reporting focused on obstruction over collusion is what you're saying.
Yes.
And then Trump tweeted, it's so disgraceful that the questions concerning the Russian witch hunt were leaked to the media. No questions on collusion. So he was able to say it's likely that his side leaked the questions, and then he could turn around and say, look, these questions are not about collusion, which is what he's most afraid of. But shouldn't he also be afraid of obstruction?
Well, there was some reporting that Mueller was going to release two reports to Rosenstein, but that if one, he suggested, if he went to Rosenstein and said, well, I think Trump should be indicted for obstruction. Now, Rosenstein has already said he doesn't think a sitting president can be indicted. So if Mueller submits a report to Rosenstein asking for an indictment, and the indictment doesn't go through, that automatically goes to Congress, and then Congress would be sitting on a report of all the things that Trump did to try and prevent this investigation into him. And that report may be in Congress's hands by the August kickoff of election season. So Trump is sort of saying, I want the election to be about the Mueller investigation, because the way in which Republicans will hold the House is if they're worried about me being impeached. But if the report is damning enough, that may really make Republicans in Congress a lot less comfortable with covering for the president.
Right. Well, finally, let's turn to Rudy Giuliani, the latest person to join the Trump legal team, who sounded his mouth off, what some are saying in a deliberate way to confuse the issue, to the press. He basically shot from the hip, said a number of things that contradicted what Trump had said, and no one's really, and it caused a huge flurry in the media. Now that controversy seems to have died down. Is anything that Rudy Giuliani said on the record to the press going to end up hurting Trump in the Mueller investigation?
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard to go through exactly what will hurt how, because he said so many things that were damning and then reversed them. But the short of it is that he said that Trump knew about the payments when for a very long time.
These are payments to Stormy Daniels through Michael Cohen.
Yeah, Trump and Cohen have been trying to say they didn't know anything about it. So now we've got two stories. It doesn't get Cohen out of his legal trouble. It doesn't make him less likely to flip. But it makes Trump, it exposes Trump to certain campaign finance violations and or payments that he has not yet publicly declared. So it actually probably did get him in trouble. I think the White House has finally gotten Rudy to shut up, but just those couple of days of the Rudy show hurt Trump just as much as Trump would himself.
Right. In some ways, people were seeing Giuliani as essentially a Trump-like figure. They're very similar in their demeanor. And of course, they have the New York connection. They went to great lengths to assure that this was in no way something that was, out of the blue, that Trump and Giuliani were still on the same page, and that it was just, growing pains in his new role. But Giuliani seemed to have done a lot of damage, and some speculated that it was intentional to do this damage. But you don't think so?
No, I think it's just Rudy and Trump are both 70-something-year-old men who have gotten by in the public for decades by mouthing off. And thus far, they've always gotten away with it. And we'll see whether it works anymore. But the funny part was Rudy basically got fired or had to resign from his law firm because he said, oh yeah, my law firm, Greenberg Traurig, my law firm does these kinds of hush payments all the time. And the lawyers at that firm, who were already a little bit uncomfortable with how public a role he was taking and the association through him with Trump, at that point, he was asked to leave the firm. So he lost a job over it. And, you know, we'll see how long he's actually employed by Trump.
Well, I want to thank you so much, as always, Marcy, for joining us and for keeping tabs on this increasingly complicated set of issues. Thanks so much.
Great to be here.
Marcy Wheeler is my guest. She's an independent journalist who's been closely following the Mueller investigation. She blogs at emptywheel.net. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find out about us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.